We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Good Minute Hummel podcast, and we got Robbie Hummel.
I'd known you since you were a kid.
I could blow my knee out, both knees, and still kick your ass.
We're trying to find the Robbie Hummel statue.
I wanted to kill you.
All right, I'm back. Welcome back, Goodman and Hummel Pod. After a week of having to deal with Rob Doster and our numbers absolutely plummeting.
That's not true. I had multiple people say that was the best podcast that has ever been recorded on the Goodman and Hummel Pod.
I said,
maybe we got to make a change.
I don't believe
it. Maybe this is the key. Doster was so knowledgeable. His predictions weren't batshit crazy. They weren't all over the place. I mean, this is what I'm talking about. This is the type of partner I need.
All right. Save
me from this.
You know what they say, be careful what you wish for.
Oh, because you could always go away. You might just move to Charleston and say, you know what? Forget it. I'm done. I'm retired.
Anyway, welcome back, Goodman and Hummel Pod. I'm Jeff Goodman. He's Robbie Hummel. And we got tons to talk about today. We're going to obviously hit on the Michigan situation, the mess that's going on. I'm going to fill you in on exactly what happened over there. We're going to talk about Bronny James' debut, 4 points, but I was super impressed. I'm going to tell you why. Then we're going to go through Purdue, Arizona.
This is a grudge match between you and I.
Major wager on this one. Major wager on Arizona. My Wildcats against your Boilermakers in Indy. We'll both be there, right? You're going to be there.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll be
Peacock.
There.
Peacock.
Yep, in the game.
I got to go get my subscription right now after we finish the pod.
I thought you said you're going.
I'm going, but I got to get a subscription anyway. I've had a lot of good stuff on Peacock. So I've already had a subscription for years and support you anyway, because, you know, frankly, Doster doesn't pay you enough. So I'm going to try to support Peacock in any way I can. Kansas at Indiana. I'll be doing that doubleheader. We'll talk about that one.
That'll be sweet.
Carolina, Kentucky. It's the best Saturday, maybe all season, Rob. All season. Certainly,
and last Saturday was pretty good. I think you tweeted that it was a solid, but it was going to really ramp up this week. And we need this.
Yes.
We need this for college hoops. Yes. So I commend any coach, you know, like Matt Painter and Nate Oates last week. Play those games. And hopefully they play more of those on home and homes, like Kansas and Indiana are doing. That's an awesome series. But you know what? We'll take them any way we can get them. So whatever.
All right, let's start with the Michigan situation. And after doing plenty of digging on this one, here's what I will tell you happened. Okay, this is, according to my sources, exactly what went down. At the end of last week, right before practice started, Jace Howard was in the training room, and he's been out all year. Juwan's son, who hasn't played a whole lot anyway, he's a role guy, but he's
like
been
the eighth or ninth man, around that. Yeah,
hurt all season, and he's frustrated, and he starts to really get into the trainer. He's frustrated, and he starts almost berating the trainer. And the strength
because he's not healthy. Or because he's
just
not
frustrated. Yeah, he's just frustrated. And from what I was told, it didn't matter who it was, whether it was a trainer, whoever was there at that time, he just let his frustrations roll out. And they rolled out on the trainer. And the strength coach, John Sanderson, who's been there for a long time, dating back to the John Beilein era, who's 6'8", 270, played, I think, at Ohio University. Big, big dude, intimidating dude, got pissed off because he saw how Jace was treating the trainer. And he basically said something to the effect of, that's why the effing culture is the way it is around here. Something to that effect. Well, Juwan Howard heard this. They were walking onto the court right before practice when this happened. Juwan Howard heard this, and he obviously got pissed off. And there were no punches thrown, but what I was told, the quote I was told, they were toe-to-toe, chest-to-chest, right up in each other, and had to be restrained. A bunch of the players saw this. It was right again, right before practice started, before they were stretching. And obviously after that, Sanderson took some time away from the program. He did not go to the game at Iowa. Juwan Howard was still at the game in his normal seat over the last few weeks, which was the first assistant chair, basically. He has not been the head coach. Phil Martelli's still been the head coach as he comes back from heart surgery. And I was also told that Juwan never addressed it, the situation with the players or anything, or hadn't as of 24 hours ago. Maybe that's changed now. Obviously, Michigan is looking into the situation now, according to my sources. And Juwan also has a no-tolerance policy based on his history, right? His history with getting into it with Mark Turgeon, but more really about the Greg Gard in the Wisconsin, the Joe Krabbenhoff situation when he hit Gard with the open, right? Open.
He hit Joe, not Gard.
Joe with the open fist. Gard. Right, yeah.
Joe.
With the open hand. So, you know, what does this mean going forward? We still don't know exactly. You know, there's a lot of speculation that, you know, would Juwan Howard, how long would this go? Like, is this something that could cost Juwan his job right now? And certainly with a zero tolerance policy, who knows? I would say this, Rob, you know, to me, Juwan Howard's still one of their own, and you're in the middle of the season and he's coming off heart surgery. I would be surprised, not shocked, but surprised if he doesn't make it through the season. Now, after the year, I could absolutely see something happening where they go in a different direction because this program has gone steadily downhill, quickly downhill, really, in the last couple of years, where they didn't make the tournament last year with two first-round picks and an All-American candidate and Hunter Dickinson. And this year, after, you know, a win against St. John's where everybody's
like, a good start. Back. They had a really good start to the season and then have kind of, you know, the thing that I guess really, I don't want to say, I don't know if it confuses me, but the thing I just don't understand why it would be a reaction like that in front of the team. You know, if you're the head coach of a college basketball team and you hear someone say something you don't like, even if maybe, you know, whether John Sanderson is right or wrong in saying that, if I'm the head coach and I hear him say something, I think it has to be as simple as, you know, coach, can I talk to you over here? We need to talk about this. Yeah. It shouldn't be and look, I was not there. I can only hear what you just said and assume that that's what happened, but that's from a source. So I don't know exactly what happened, right? Like, I was not there to see this, but if this is what happened, my question would just be, why are you reacting like this when you are the leader of a college basketball team? Because you are supposed to be an example for these players. And, you know, a lot of these kids, their parents send them to you to take them from a high school boy to a man. And when you see your coach respond like that, my biggest question would be, why are you reacting in that way? I just don't understand that.
So somebody I talked to within the program literally quoted, the quote is, he's got a track record of anger issues. And he does.
He didn't as a player. I don't remember him getting into, did he?
Yeah. I mean, he was tough, obviously, as a player.
No, he was tough, but I don't remember. I mean, it's like we have, he wasn't fighting in the NBA. I don't get that.
Yeah. I mean, again, I think there's a lot going on there, and there has been, you know, I'll go back to the fact that it's funny because after like year two, I was like, all right, I think I wrote a story when Mike Woodson got hired and said, Juwan Howard is the outlier. The former NBA player.
They did a great job with that first team.
Yes.
And they had good players. Don't get me wrong. I mean, they had the holdovers from V-Line's group were really good. And, you know, the way that Xavier Simpson would run that team and some of the other pieces they had, Franz Wagner's pretty good. They had some studs. Isaiah Liver is a good player. But they were knocking on the door of the Final Four. They are right there with UCLA and in just an unbelievable game at Lucas Oil in the weird COVID tournament. He did a nice job with that too. He did a good job getting them into the Sweet 16 the next year. They didn't have a good season, but they did figure it out at the end of the year. But it has – last year it was disappointing, and certainly this year after the St. John's win, it's been pretty disappointing outside this Iowa. But Iowa is in disarray as well. I mean, they're not in a good place themselves.
And that's the thing. It's hard to evaluate, right? Even St. John's. The win against St. John's looked great at the time for Michigan. Yes, right. And now you look at St. John's loses to BC. They can't guard me.
I don't know about that. Let's not say that.
All right. They can't
guard me. The worst player at Field of 68. I think you are. Are you the worst player at Field of 68?
Well, we got a lot of former players on Field of 68. I'm trying to think who I could – take down.
I think you are the worst player at the. If we played pickup, if we were picking teams, I think you're the last pick.
I could be the last pick. But when it comes to pickleball in Phoenix, I'm gonna beat your ass. That's all I know.
God, no chance.
I'm gonna beat your ass. I gotta get out there. I gotta get out there.
Keep sipping that poison, that Diet Coke. That'll get your body right for that thing.
Diet Coke and iced coffee with
aspartame will fuel you to the greatness of pickleball, huh?
Yeah, no, that won't do it. But yeah, listen, you know, to me again, I just feel like now you look at it and you say, okay, Juwan Howard inherited a hell of a culture at Michigan, and again, he's had his issues, not only him personally, but also with the program and NIL and some of the other things.
Well, recruiting has been hard too. I mean, he's gotten multiple players. They just couldn't get into school.
Right. Right. And then you've got now Ward Manuel or the administration having to make a difficult decision, no matter what's going to happen, because again, you've got like Jalen Rose, who's obviously got a big voice and going to back Juwan and already has on Twitter saying that he's not resigning anytime soon, that he's going to be back. I think he said this weekend, as the full-time coach, back 100% as the coach. But you got the football stuff looming over the program. You know, they're in the playoff. They got all this stuff with Harbaugh. You know, it's about football at Michigan. Let's not get it twisted here. And you do not need
also,
this.
Can they just go like a couple weeks without something insane happening? What is going on up there?
It's a mess. It's a mess. And, you know, you wonder it's getting down to it here for Juwan Howard and the fact that, you know, this may be it. And they go in a different direction at the end of the year if they don't make a move. And again, here's the one thing I'll say. If there was a punch thrown, which again, I was told by two sources, there was no punch thrown by Juwan Howard. Okay. But this video, you and I both know this video at every practice. So all Michigan's got to do is take a look at whatever the video shows. Now, there may not be audio, but there's going to be video to show who was the aggressor in anything that happened. And what do you do? Do you suspend him? I mean, does he go to anger management? Like, what are the things that you have to do in order to feel better about, hey, listen, we're comfortable putting Juwan Howard back on the court as our head coach?
I don't know. I mean, you have to assume there is video. I mean, if they got out of the tunnel and onto the floor, there would be most likely video of the situation.
Unless it wasn't rolling at that point.
That could be. Isn't John Sanderson's kid one of the better players in the state of Michigan? And
yes. Well, yeah. And again, I've been told, according to my sources, Sanderson was not happy with the culture there for a while. And he wasn't alone. He's not alone. Okay. So, again, this thing has kind of been trending down a little bit lately in terms of not just on the court, but also off the court. So I don't know how many people are going to stand up and have Juwan Howard's back, especially if he did go after a guy who's fairly beloved in that program and has been a long time, and that is John Sanderson. So
we're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
When you're hiring for your small business, you want to have as many top-tier candidates as possible to interview. That's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs has the tools to help find the right professionals for your team faster and for free. I've used LinkedIn Jobs multiple times before, thankfully not to hire Hummel, but I've done it to hire plenty of other people, and it's been unbelievable. Effective, quick, everything has been awesome about it. LinkedIn isn't just another job board. LinkedIn has a vast network of more than a billion professionals, which makes it the best place to hire. Hiring is easy when you have that many quality candidates. So easy, in fact, that 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. LinkedIn knows that small businesses are wearing so many hats and might not have the time or resources to hire. Thankfully, with LinkedIn, the process is intuitive, quick, and easy. They even just launched a feature that helps you write job descriptions, making the process even easier and quicker. So post your job for free at linkedin.com/good. That's linkedin.com/good to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply. All right, next up, Bronny James made his debut.
Yeah.
Talk about something positive here.
Some uplifting news, good about. Yes.
Yeah, and this is great news.
But they did lose, didn't they?
They lost, but you know what? I feel just watching Bronny was fun for me. It really was, because I've said this for the last four or five years. I think the first time I saw Bronny play was in Vegas before the pandemic, and LeBron was there. Again, if Chris Paul was there too, he was. And LeBron was there, and I remember this was before Bronny. I remember thinking to myself, Bronny's probably a mid-major player back then, and I think he was. And the one thing that always struck me, and I found really fun to watch as a dad, was watching LeBron, and not only with Bronny, but like every player would come off the court on his team, and he knew everybody's name, and he would give them.
But he's like that in the NBA.
Yeah,
I think he knows every player's name in the league.
Yep.
He studies the game. That
you think he knows you? Do you think if you went up to LeBron right now, he would have any idea who you are?
I think when I was playing, yes. Because I was with Justin Hamilton, who played with the Heat, and he just was like, he did say what's up. So I think he knows every player that's in the NBA when they're in it. Now, I mean, I'm 10 years removed, or not 10, I'm 8 years removed. So probably not now, but then maybe. Yeah.
So Bronny, anyway, he played, I think it was 16, 17 minutes. He had 4 points, couple boards, made a three. He was 1 for 3 from the field. All his shots were from deep. Couple assists, you know, here's the one thing that's stood out to me, Robbie, is, and it always has with him, the dude just plays with poise. He moves the ball. He makes all the right plays.
Well, he's got a high basketball IQ and then a motor.
Yes. And again, he got it from his dad. Like, clearly, you can just see him in the way, like, a guy playing in their first college game is going to be a little bit, like, jittery or trying to do too much or nerve. Like, there was zero of that with Bronny James. Like, it looked like he was a senior in terms of his composure and poise and decision-making and making people better. Now, again, he missed the key free throw at the end that might have been able to win the game. But man, he's a really good blender is kind of the way I describe him to people, because he just does everything well, but nothing elite.
Yeah. And I think that the expectations for him are, our podcast with Jeffrey Jordan on that was so interesting, because I think Jeffrey could speak on that better than anybody. I mean, yeah. Him and Marcus Jordan would know. But his dad has not probably helped the expectations where he's talking about wanting to play with Bronny. And look, of course he does. Like, what dad doesn't want their kid to be in the NBA? They all do. It just happens to be that his dad is the best player in the league currently still, which is incredible. Then he's 37 years old. I don't know. The expectations are going to be crazy for him, but it's good to see him on the floor after what happened. You know, it sounds like it could have been really, really bad. So kudos to the people at USC for doing their jobs in that regard. But pretty cool to see him back out there cleared. And hopefully, I'm sure he hasn't played a ton of basketball either. You know, a lot of, like, the free throw thing, that's a lot of that's rhythm. Have you been playing? And he hasn't. I mean, how could he? He hasn't been medically cleared until a week or two ago. So I'm thrilled to see him out there. And USC, kind of a rough start though. Aren't they 5-4?
Yeah, and obviously, you know, one of the reasons why he's going to be a role guy on this year's team is because they have Boogie Ellis, a fifth year guy, and then you got Isaiah Collier, who's potentially in the mix for the number one overall pick, and Kobe Johnson, a terrific defender, big.
Wait, how are they 5-4?
I know. Well, because Collier has had his struggles. He doesn't shoot it great, and his turnovers are high, really high. More turnovers than assists so far. So they got to cut down on that. But, you know, listen, my one thing, and I'll be curious to see what you think of this. Obviously, like you alluded to before, LeBron wants to play with his kid, and you don't blame him. He's turning 39 later this month.
And he was just balling in that in-season tournament.
He's got more than 1 year left, Rob. Like, next year.
I mean, if he wants to, yeah, he still is really good.
So slow it down. You're going to play till you're 40. Slow it down and let Bronny play a year and three quarters in college and then assess the situation, because he's going to average.
The only thing I will say,
though, 6-7 points a game.
Is if you do that, there is always the risk, especially as you get older, that you could get hurt and have a catastrophic injury. I mean, he's a freak of nature. I don't even want to say that, you know, knock on wood that it doesn't happen. But as you cross the 40-year-old flesh or threshold, and you're all of a sudden you're still playing with explosiveness, and I mean, I hope
you never
not,
know.
But
you never
that
know.
Could happen. Like that. That's.
But
that
you're doing him a disservice, Rob. You're doing your son a disservice in a lot of ways by saying, "All right, you're coming off a year where you average 6 points a game and you play 16 minutes a game," which is, I think, what he's going to end up doing. You know, six to eight points a game, 3 assists, 3 rebounds, something like that. Whatever the line is, it's not going to be crazy. All right, you can put him in the draft, and as I've told everybody, if I'm the Boston Celtics. Okay, if I'm the Boston Celtics and I'm picking 28th, damn right I'm taking Bronny. Absolutely I'm taking
just
Bronny.
Just because you think you can sign his dad on like a minimum?
Hell yes. And you're telling
LeBron,
me LeBron.
Would LeBron take the minimum to come play with his son?
Hell yeah. Of course he would. Of course he would. 1,000% he would take the minimum to win a title with his kid. Think about that. Think about the Celtics. With LeBron James.
I don't know. Like, there is a level of ego to, like, making max money. Dude, yes, there is. There's guys that care about that. I'm not
saying
when
you want to play with your kid for 1 year. I disagree.
Man.
It's all about your kid at that point.
Is that legal? Is it legal for a player of that stature to take the minimum?
Why not?
No, I guess. I mean, we've seen quarterbacks take less to give team, like Brady used to do that. We're seeing Shohei Ohtani defer. I can't fathom that Major League Baseball allows you to defer 98% of your salary. But that's a different deal. Wow. I mean, yeah, I guess if you knew. But
if you're Minnesota.
Could that be tampering, though, if you...
Why?
Because you've had discussions with LeBron saying, if we draft your son, will you sign for the minimum? Or are you just assuming that you're going to waste a first-round pick?
Who cares? It's the 28th pick. I don't care. I could give a shit.
Who are the best 28th picks in the history of the league that would just say, stick this to Jeff Goodman?
I'm just telling you.
There's been good players taking it 28. Of course. Like, let's not act like 28 is some spot that's...
I'm willing to roll the dice. Because at worst case scenario, Rob, you know what I have? I have Bronny James. I have him as leverage to trade somewhere else.
Oh,
not like I don't have anything. You know what I mean?
No, that's true.
I know right now LeBron has to play with Bronny. So I've got all the leverage in the world. I can trade him to the Lakers if I want.
Yeah, that's right. True. If he was back there.
That's what I'm saying, wherever it is.
Man, how crazy if your dad has this kind of pull in the NBA. Like, what was 40. Glenn Hummel? What was Glenn Hummel doing playing tennis at Illinois and just not setting the table for me?
He had no, honestly, Dad. He had no leverage.
No.
He had zero leverage.
Yeah, that's a wild situation. Wow, that's interesting to think about.
I think actually you have more leverage right now with Glenn Hummel, the pickleball player, than he had with you, the basketball player.
How so?
Like, if you wanted to join like the pickleball tour or something, you have your dad. You have your dad who's a really good player. You were just a very mediocre player.
I mean, I'm not great. I'm just good enough to like survive, you know.
There you go.
He plays daily. He should be good. He played college tennis. He should be good. But he is really good. He whoops ass when you get out there with him.
We're gonna see how good you are. We're gonna see how well he taught you that.
Listen,
that third shot drop.
I don't care how good I am. I know that you suck at all sports. You know, like that's what I keep coming back to.
We'll see.
We need to have a Field of 68 combine, and we will determine
how far you can throw the football. Greatest. How far can you throw a football?
Dude, Zoster told us that you could not throw a basketball from the baseline to the other free throw line.
He lied.
Like, you could not. He said you could not make the Bryce Drew pass. You could not have thrown that pass.
Zoster literally couldn't throw it to midcourt. Throw it from baseline to midcourt.
I don't believe either of you guys, because I think both you guys suck. But I heard that you could not, if you were Jamie Sykes in 1998, man, that pass is coming up about 15 feet short of Bill Jenkins before he gets the Bryce Drew.
We'll see. We will absolutely see. All right, listen, we got a big game this weekend. A huge game.
We do. What are we betting? What are we wagering?
All right, here's the wager. Your Purdue Boilermakers go up against my Arizona Wildcats. And they're mine again now that I made up with Caleb Love and everything.
I don't know. I don't think Tommy Lloyd feels that you're like a part of the program.
I'm a part. For this Saturday, I'm going to be a part. Okay. Just for this wager. For this wager, I'm part of the program. Okay. So here's the deal. The deal is the loser. And listen, the game's in Indy, so you should feel pretty good about this one. The loser has to wear the other's school attire head to toe for a day.
Hat, on the pod,
everything, the whole day. Like, you can't take it off. You gotta take pictures.
If I go to the gym,
I gotta
rock in Arizona
everything. Right,
you know what, they have some sick shorts. The shorts that they used to have when it was like the Mike Bibby,
oh, they're awesome.
I might just buy like a throwback Arizona jersey if they lose. All right, that's a good bet. I'm with that.
All right,
and you know what, If Purdue wins, you got to buy my Purdue jersey. You got to rock that shit.
Done. All right. Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. I don't know where I can buy it, but can you buy it?
Or you have to go on NBA.com and
I'm not getting your Timberwolves.
And make a Timberwolves jersey. I'm not doing it.
I will wear a Purdue. I will wear the number four, the Hummel number four. Maybe the woman in the store that told, you know, remember when I tried to buy that jersey?
She defended my honor, knowing that you're a total asshole.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
As you guys know by now, we've partnered with BetMGM Sportsbook for this college basketball season. We're going to be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks and predictions throughout the college basketball season. And we are going to have special offers for you, the listeners and the viewers on the Field of 68, each and every week during the season. If you haven't signed up with BetMGM yet, use the bonus code FIELD1500 and you will get up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager on BetMGM Sportsbook. Here's what you got to do. Download the BetMGM app. Sign up using the bonus code FIELD1500. Deposit at least $10 and place your first wager on any game. You will receive up to $1,500 in bonus bets if that bet loses. Just make sure you use the bonus code FIELD1500 when you sign up. And remember, BetMGM is now available under one wallet in select states. As a New Jersey resident, this is super convenient for me when I have to go cover games in New York or Philly. When cross the state borders, just log into your existing account instead of having to create new accounts in each state that you go to. And most importantly, I got to let you know, we do have some fun stuff coming up for this college basketball season. Bet insurance tokens, college hoops odds boosts, my personal favorite, parlay odds boosts. So download the BetMGM app today.
All right, let's get to the game itself, because this is a game that honestly a lot of people feel like they're the two best teams in America right now. Arizona's number one, Purdue right in the mix there. Obviously, they got that one loss to Chris Collins in Northwestern. Arizona's undefeated. Where do you, to me, I think, again, I think the advantage lies in playing down the road from Purdue. I think they're going to have the home court advantage.
No, I hear it's like 100 tickets are left. Yeah. It's basically a sellout.
It's going to be great.
And now, you know, I don't know how many people stay from the Ball State Indiana State game that's prior.
Yeah.
So you might see some empty seats from those people clearing out after that game. But it's going to be a big time environment. I mean, this will feel like a Final Four, Elite Eight type deal. I thought Purdue offensively just was phenomenal in the second half against Alabama, and Bama gave them some problems too. Bama's talented, my goodness.
Yeah,
I mean, Sears is good, and Estrada didn't even play all that well, but
Sears was awesome. A ton of threes. But they're not getting out of Sears every game.
No, I know. That was a great game for him. Boy, Arizona's guard play is tremendous. And that certainly concerns Purdue with the way that they've – I mean, look, Boo Booey goes for 32-9, no turnovers. Sears has 35. There's been some guards that have gotten them. And when you're talking about Kylan Boswell and the new and improved Caleb Love, who, let's face it, like, his highs where he was playing in the Final Four and he led Carolina all the way there. He was unbelievable in that run. But we also saw last year some of the struggles. His decision-making has been better. His assisted turnover ratio is pretty good.
Defense.
Yeah, and he's guarding. You know, like, that's certainly an improvement. I am curious with Fletcher Loyer, who has been able to impact games at times with his scoring. You know, Tennessee, he went for 27. He's got to be better defensively. And I'm looking at Arizona's starting guards, and it's like, even if you put, like, Pelle Larsen is good.
Really good.
He's really good. And Lance Jones will start on Caleb Love, I'd assume. Yeah. Braden Smith, it's a big-time matchup with Kylan Boswell.
Boswell's so tough. Now,
He is. But I think that if Fletcher Loyer is guarding Pelle Larsen, that could be a problem for Purdue. Just because of the physicality, the size. I mean, Pelle Larsen, like, he dang near pitched a perfect game against Wisconsin. He was awesome. Didn't miss a shot, didn't turn it over. He was phenomenal. Balo has the physicality to certainly bang with Zach Edey. Edey just wears people out.
Right.
He just fouls everyone out. It's
Crevis.
You should look at it.
Crevis is going to have to like give him 12 or 15 minutes against Edey.
I thought Alabama early did a nice job of being physical with Zach and keeping the ball out of his hands, but it's just for doing it for 40 minutes is almost an impossible task. It truly is, because he wears your guys out. It's like body blows from a boxer. And when you get that over time, and Zach Edey is in phenomenal shape. He played 37 minutes
against Alabama.
There's some dumbasses that think he's not good. That is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. No,
there's some dumbasses who think he gets like this preferential treatment.
No, I saw a video where they were saying that he was like a plus 44 from the line against some, like basically against what? Alabama, Tennessee, Gonzaga, and Marquette.
Yeah.
Well, duh. Like, look at what he does, dude. Right. There was a play in the Bama game where I thought like he initiated contact and he kind of bowed Pringle in the face.
Yep.
And it's like, well, and then they called Pringle for a foul for like chucking him back. It's like, well, he just got blasted. And look, Edey gets fouled more than anybody in the country. I think the arguments that are being made about him, you know, being reffed with a conspiracy is the stupidest thing of all time. But he
you
just,
know what
he
I
wears,
love, Rob? Hey,
he
you know what I love out? About it? Have you ever heard Zach Edey complain about the officiating?
No, I never have.
Isn't that amazing to me? Like,
yeah, I've never heard him talk about it.
That's the best thing about Zach Edey is like, he's so smart and just gets it in every way, right? Like a lot of guys would lose their shit.
Yeah.
And he never does.
No,
never
I know.
Does.
I know. He's going to be National Player of the Year. I mean, against seven high major opponents, yeah. I think, well, against six going into the Bama game, he was averaging 27 and 12, but that's now add 35 and 8. So the rebounds go down a little bit, points go up a tad.
Yeah.
He's unbelievable, man. He really is.
Don't try to do that.
Yeah. So that's going to be, but you know what? The glass is where this game can be decided, because Arizona gets there. And they're a phenomenal defensive rebounding team, which is something that Purdue has been able to exploit. I didn't think Purdue was great on the defensive glass against Bama. Bama got second chance opportunities. And then certainly the
Keyshawn Johnson will be somebody that Purdue's going to have to figure out, because
no doubt.
Here's the thing with him is he can come weak side. And honestly, that's where I think Edie's going to – there's going to be a lot on him. There's going to be a lot of
no, and Keyshawn Johnson has been phenomenal. I mean, he's been so good. You knew he'd guard, but I think the fact, you know, against Wisconsin, he made some shots. Yep. He's a good player, man. He's good.
So, are you objectively, who are you picking in this one? Are you picking?
I honestly feel like it is a toss up.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it's a throw the ball up and.
Here's what I'm going to say. If Arizona wins this game, if they win this game in Indy, I think everybody's got to now say, hey, you know what? There's a dominant team today in college basketball.
That would be
fair.
They're
a step above everybody else. If they go into Indy and beat Purdue,
I mean, they've slaughtered everybody except for Duke, and that was in Cameron. And I guess Michigan State was close. That was a 6-point game.
Yeah.
I don't know. Their resume is not like incredible.
Nope.
You compare their resume with Purdue.
It's not
even close.
Nope.
It's really not. But you have a head to head. If they were to win in what's going to essentially be a road, semi road environment, then I would be okay with you saying that for now. Yes.
Before that game, I'm going to be doing a little doubleheader, going Kansas at Indiana in Bloomington. And, like, it's not the sexiest matchup this year. But
no, but when good teams in Blue Bloods or I'd say even Purdue for the rivalry, when those types of teams come into Assembly Hall, it has a different feel.
Yes.
It's going to be packed. It's going to be – I've played in that building where I'm like, from the jump, 2 hours prior to the game, you're like, this feels different. Yeah. And that's what Kansas – when they walk into Assembly Hall, they're going to feel that. And think about it, they play at Fog Allen. Like they play in the best atmosphere in college basketball. They get that type of crowd wherever they go, much like Duke does. You know, they're that type of blue blood. But this game will be insane. The question I have, Jeff, can Indiana give their fans something to cheer for early to keep the crowd in the game?
They have
to. Because they've got to get off to a good start. They've got to make some threes. Bill Self is going to load up so hard on Malik Renew and Khalil Ware. And every drive, they're stopping the ball. They're going to dare those guys to make some shots. And in that building, maybe they will. That crowd, I've seen it. I've seen where I go in there with on a team that's ranked in the top five or six, and Indiana wasn't all that good that year. And the crowd, I swear, was worth 15 to 20 points because it was just – they played out of their minds. They played insane. And I think that this team is better than the team I'm talking about. They just need to make some threes because I know for a fact that Kansas and Bill Self are taking away the drives and they are going to take away the post.
If Xavier Johnson does not, and he's missed three straight games, it could be a long, long day for Gabe Cups, who I really like. But, man,
no,
you're a freshman.
DeJuan Harris could smell some blood in the water. I mean, McCullough, and he will take your rock.
And they got a lot of dudes. I mean, McCullough's having – like, it's funny. So I saw a mock draft the other day where McCullough was first rounder. And I'm like,
who told you that he was shooting the ball better and you mocked me?
No, he is. I'm not mocking you that he has shot the ball better.
Dude, I said that during the or after their Illinois scrimmage that I thought he'd changed his shot and his mechanics looked better. And you were like, no way.
I still want to see if he can keep this up for a full season.
We're nine games in. Shooting 40.
You know, like it's like Terrence Shannon. A similar deal, right? Like those two have gotten off to great starts. Former Texas Tech
duo. You don't believe in their shooting, huh? Lubbock doesn't teach jumpers.
I guess not. I don't know. But, you know, to me, again, I think if you don't have Xavier Johnson, it's going to be awfully difficult to win this game. But, again, Kansas could go 3 for 20.
They could. They're not a great shooting team.
They're not. I mean, I know their numbers might tell you otherwise because their numbers aren't bad. Three-point-wise, Indiana's are bad for the most part. Neither one.
But it also helps that Hunter Dickinson's 10 of 17.
It's crazy.
I mean, that's certainly, you know, you look at the guys that are going to be around him. Timberlake's 33. Yep. McCullough's been 40. He's been good on a decent volume. KJ Adams has taken one, didn't make it. He's 0 for 1. Now Marco Jackson's 4 of 18. Furphy is 44. And that's what they need from him. They need Johnny Furphy to be able to do
Harris. That. They need Harris to be – one
but his volume is just so low.
He's got to take three a game and make one. That's what every game, just take three, make one. And you know what? You can't have the games where you take one shot all game or take, you know, a total of three shots all game. I think it's hard for him.
He is a great point guard when he's got four guys that need the rock. Yep. You know, when he can just distribute and guard and take wide open threes every once in a while, that's probably his best role he's suited for.
How much fun is it going to be to watch Hunter back in Bloomington with Kansas?
It was fun to watch him in Illinois because of the hatred he has with the Illinois fans. The only one we're missing out on is Wisconsin, you know, the ski mask game where he went in there with the mask and said they're going to steal a win. And then he went for like 12 and 10 and they lost by 11.
Yeah,
I will say this about Hunter, though. It's always entertaining.
Yes.
It's always going to be entertaining.
I love him. I got to say. I think this sport needs more guys like him, more personalities.
I agree with that. And I think that probably Bill Self is more equipped to be like, have your personality, but you're not doing some of the crazy stuff that maybe he was doing last year. Like he's not walking into Texas Tech in a ski mask. No, he's not going to do a podcast that's only going to hurt him where he's saying things that are going to be bulletin board material for other teams. That's where Bill Self is. I think there's a different level.
And that's where, honestly, I hate to say it, but it's true. Playing for Juwan Howard and playing for Bill Self at Michigan and Kansas, it's a different level.
But Juwan comes from the NBA, where he's like, you know, the unless you're doing just totally insane things, the NBA teams are not going to be like, hey, don't tweet that. They're not going to let you off the ski mask thing. They wouldn't let you do. But he definitely has more of that mentality.
Yeah, I just think he's not even going to think to put on a ski mask when he's playing for Bill Self. And again, part of it
Bill Self yells, he gets after these dudes, man. He gets after these guys.
Well, again, the Barstool pod, let's face it, that triggered Hunter to be able to do some of these things.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They kind of got that.
He just wasn't helping himself. Like, help yourself. If you're going to do a podcast, that's fine, but you have to do it in a way that you're not just every time you're on, it's like, what? Why are you doing this?
All right, the other game we got to talk about, I think, this weekend, and there's a bunch. I'll go through them. There's two more that I think we should touch on. I'm going to read a few others before we talk about those two. The slate again, Kansas, Indiana, 12:30, Baylor, Michigan State in Detroit at 2, Texas A&M, Houston at the Toyota Center, 2:30, Clemson at Memphis at 3, Arizona, Purdue, and India, 4:30, Carolina, Kentucky, and Atlanta, part of the CBS Sports Classic, 5:30, Alabama at Creighton at 8. It's a ridiculous slate.
I'm going to go Alabama, Creighton, over under
1,000.
220.
It's going to be insane. It's going to be fun. No defense allowed. No defense allowed. All right, let's start with the Michigan State one, because you've seen this Michigan State team a bunch this year, Robbie. And they're now under 500. This is a team that most people have in the preseason top five. I had them winning the Big Ten, or in the mix to win the Big Ten. I think I picked them.
You said they were in the same tier as Purdue.
I just wanted to piss you off.
God, are you ever right?
I just wanted to piss you off.
Ever right about anything is my question.
Nothing. Anyway, what the hell is wrong with Michigan State, Robbie? And can it be corrected this year?
I'm not sure that it can. Ooh. I think it's pretty crazy. I mean, they've lost three or four. They've had opportunities. You know, the Duke game, they had a chance. Arizona, they had a chance. James Madison, they led late. And I think that's the first thing I'll start with, is we have seen this trend developed since, I would say, last year. Kansas State, they took a late lead. And in the last 3 minutes of these games, they just have not executed, and they've just gotten their doors blown off. And that happened against Nebraska. You know, they had all the momentum. Tyson Walker did not play well in the first half, but he has a 10-minute stretch in the second where he looks like All-American Tyson Walker. And, I mean, let's be honest, Sam Hoiberg locked him up for the last 4 minutes of the game. And I love Sam Hoiberg as a player, but he's not the same deal as Tyson Walker. Skill, athleticism, but he plays hard. You know, he tries. He gives a great effort every time he's out there. And, I mean, that's just – they're getting every 50-50 play. Tyson Walker's got it going. And then Nebraska just makes every winning play for 4 minutes, and they win 77-70. Same thing in the Arizona game. They take that lead. Last 4 minutes, Arizona wins the last four, six-point win. The Wisconsin game, I did it. It was so disappointing from an effort, energy. You know, they have ended games badly, but they've started games terribly too. James Madison, they're down like 14-2. Wisconsin, they were down 12-2. Arizona, they were down big.
We put it on the shooting early, Rob. Early, it was like, okay, they can't make a shot.
Well, that's what's even more concerning. Nebraska, I think they shot 44% from three.
Right.
But their center position gives them 2 points and three rebounds. Yeah. And for the Michigan State fans that are clamoring for Xavier Booker, I mean, he's a top five recruit. But how is he ranked the fifth best recruit? Is my question.
You know why? Because he's long and skilled and looks the part.
Right. But if he
like Khalil Ware,
what was his production though in high school? I didn't see him play. I like, did he produce in AAU?
I didn't.
Was he physical? Was he going for 30? When I think of top five players, I think of OJ Mayo. He goes for 30. I think of Kevin Love.
Yeah.
He goes for 30. You know, Derrick Rose. Eric Gordon, like those are top five players.
This kid,
I know. So he's not physical, and he's not going to solve their problems. He hasn't shot the ball well. He really I think all of his shots have been dunks and threes. You know, if you're making him great, I just don't think he solves their problems on the interior. But Sissoko and Carson Cooper, just they didn't give them anything at Nebraska. And Malik Hall actually played his best game of the season, other than the Duke game. But Jaden Akins has not been great. And A.J. Hogard has not been good. He was
better
at Nebraska, but he's been the tidal wave.
Here's my deal with them.
And then my last thing before you start. I played, I knew exactly what Michigan State was. They were going to rebound the hell out of the ball, and they were going to run you into the ground on makes and misses. That was their identity every time. And if you didn't rebound with them, they would just slaughter you. And if you didn't get back, it would be a layup fest. It was a dunk contest. And I don't know what this team's identity is other than Tyson, please save us. Tyson, come up a pin down and please make threes and play pick and roll. But I think he is their lone guy that I trust at this point. And I just don't know what they're trying to do. on a night-to-night basis, which is very strange for a Tom Izzo coach team.
Yeah, I think Jaden Akins has killed him. Because I think if you had Jaden Akins as your number two guy.
But Hogard hasn't helped either.
But you knew what Hogard, we know what he is.
No, but everyone, look, people like you,
yeah,
people like you, Jeff, you watched him play against Kansas State in the NCAA tournament and go for 25-8 or whatever he had and said, this is why, you know, he'll play like this next year.
I never said that.
So then why did you think they'd be good?
Well, because I thought Akins would take a jump.
Akins would take a jump and you'd think Hogard would play at an all Big Ten level.
No, I thought Fears, I thought you could honestly, between Fears and Hogard, you'd have one of them.
You'd have one of them going every night. All right, that's fair.
You know that if Hogard's having one of his shitty games,
you could go to Fears.
You sit his ass down and you have Fears, who's tough and more of a pure point. The problem is, like you said, they get nothing out of that 5-minute spot. Nothing.
Yeah, I mean, they're only back to the basket when they call.
Right. Put them all together and maybe you have a pretty good 5-man. But like, and with Kohler, you know, obviously he's been hurt.
He could at least score. I don't think he like solves their problems, but he does give them someone that, yeah, he can't guard, but he can at least score.
Yeah. I just, you know, again, I think sometimes we look at it and we say, all right, you return everything from a decent team and you have Tom Izzo as the head coach.
Well, then why didn't we think Wisconsin? And I know Wisconsin just got destroyed by Arizona, but why didn't we think Wisconsin would be, why are they not in the top 25 to start the year?
Because Greg,
they return everybody.
Greg Gard isn't Tom Izzo.
That's fair.
That's why. We believe in Tom Izzo, but I wonder if like a Tom Izzo, again, not going the portal, because he should have went to the portal and gotten a 5-man. Let's face it. He would have traded all these dudes in for one portal 5-man at this point. He should have went and got Naquan Tomlin last week like Memphis did. And he could shoot him up tomorrow or whenever. It's Saturday, like Memphis may.
Love the midseason acquisition. That's a new one in college.
Isn't that insane, Rob?
Like, that's so wild.
Like, we're going to be at a point soon where, like, December 10th, again. Now, Naquan Tomlin, for those people that don't know, he was booted out of Kansas State because the president,
they're, like, not saying why, right? Like, they've been kind of hush-hush.
Yeah, I mean, it was a combination of off-the-court issues. You know, combination of things. He was arrested recently, or maybe not so recently, but over the summer. And then there was also a deal with an agent. But I think he repaid that, or the family repaid that. So, you know, to me, he goes in the portal 4 days ago. He commits to Memphis today. And they're saying there's a chance he could play against Clemson on Saturday.
The midseason trade. That is
like,
wild.
What are we doing? I mean, it's like,
I know. You know, that's,
we're
so crazy.
With pros. All right. Last game that we got to go through here. Big one. Carolina, Kentucky in Atlanta, CBS Sports Classic. Both teams have kind of been a little up and down. I mean, listen, you know, to me, Carolina got, I don't know if punked is the right word, by UConn last week at the Garden, but like, UConn played hard as shit. They went after them. They rebound. They're tough. They run their stuff. Bacot, I felt like every time he's trying to go for a board, Rob, three guys were around him. Like, three guys are fighting. He's trying to fight off three dudes. Are you buying Carolina as like a second weekend team now?
What? I don't know. I mean,
are you buying either one of them?
I liked what Kentucky was doing. I think with Aaron Bradshaw coming into the fold, it's going to be really interesting to see kind of how they play, he and Trey Mitchell together. Because I did read something where John Calipari said, we've got to figure out how to play two bigs together.
I know. Like, dude. Play small ball. It's working.
I know. The small ball has been so good. You know, I guess with Carolina, you look at some of their pieces. Bacot is he's going to do what he's going to do. RJ Davis certainly is an experienced guard that has played in a lot of big games for Carolina. How has Harrison Ingram been? I can't say I've seen Carolina.
Really good.
He was thought of as a big time player coming out of high school. So that's not a surprise. Honestly, I have not seen Carolina enough to speak on that. So I really can't even say. I like their personnel. Cormac Ryan was a solid player at Notre Dame. I know the freshman, is it a Cato?
Cato.
He's been, people have been high on him. But I have watched almost no Carolina. So I really can't even say which.
Yeah, this is kind of a toss-up game, but I think an important one for both teams going in, you know, to conference play here soon, because it's a resume win for both. And you know, to me, again, Kentucky's up and down, and I'm not surprised that they are. But like you said, the key is going to be like, okay, you really don't want to play Bradshaw and Trey Mitchell too much together, because you have to get these three guards, like three of the guards have to be on the court at all times, you know, yeah. Whether it's, you know, Reeves really, to me, because he's the veteran and can shoot it. And then two of the three of Shepherd, Dillingham, and Wagner. So they got to be in the court at all times. And then I think there's a lot of times when I would just go with four guards and then throw one of Bradshaw or Mitchell out there. And I think Bradshaw is much more suited to the way they want to play.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, he's athletic. He's long. He can run.
He played well against Penn, didn't he?
Really well. Really. Yeah.
But it's just playing him with Mitchell, which is going to be.
Yeah, I don't like it. I don't like it. I think, again, I think I'd pick Carolina in this one, to be honest. I think I'd pick Carolina just because.
Where'd you say the game's at? Atlanta?
Yeah. Yeah.
That'll be sweet.
Which I think will probably be a half and half. Like,
yeah, I think so too.
Split. I don't think it'll be a great atmosphere for that one. And, you know, again, you know, Harrison Ingram, older. Cormac Ryan, older.
Armani, no, they've got an older team.
Older.
They've got,
and their freshman point guard is not, he does not play like a freshman with his court vision. Now, he can't really shoot. So, you know, I think teams are going to eventually dare him and rondo him and play him that way at the foul line. But it should be a hell of a game. Should be a hell of a weekend. Yeah. I'll see you Saturday. All right, after the game? What do you got?
I'll be around.
I might have you, I don't know, bring me some dinner to my hotel. I'm going to have to write. We got a show at night. Are you staying over in Indy or are you going?
Yeah, I am. I'll be in Indy.
Maybe you can make a cameo on the show if you stay up that late.
That will be a fee for the Field of 68 for me to come over.
I think you should do it. You should come over.
If Dosser can break the checkbook out, then I'll come over.
I think he'll do it for you. I think, listen, after your spectacular podcast last week where Dosser filled in for me.
Everyone raved about it. I'm telling you.
You've got great chemistry now, the two of you. So I think now he'd be willing to pay a little.
We have one common foe, you.
All right, there you have it. We'll see you next week. Plenty to talk about next week. There aren't a lot of great games until Saturday, but man, we will have plenty to talk about next week on the show. Jeff Goodman, Robbie Hummel, thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next week.
Goodman and Hummel podcast, and we got Robbie Hummel.
I'd known you since you were a kid.
I could blow my knee out, both knees, and still kick your ass.
We're trying to find the Robbie Hummel statue.
I wanted to kill you.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the trusted choice recommended by leading experts, with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.